Today's daf is Megillah daf Yud Ches, and we are 8 lines from the top of daf Yud Ches Amid Aleph Uma Ra'u Loimar Birchas Kayhanim. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refuah Shalema for Shlomo ben Sarah Aliza, Avadya ben Miriam Leah, Moshe Abba ben Devora, Devora bas Mecha, Shmu ben Tehila, Hena Pero bas Yecheved, Rafal Kahas ben Fega, Fega Liba bas Chava, Alter Elimelech ben Liba Nacha, Shalamis bas Fega Liba, and Baruch ben Rachel. Today's daf is also being learned Le'ilui Nishmas, Doiv Beryl ben Rabbi Yaakov David. So yesterday we began the second parak of Masechtas Megillah, which shifted attention from the Purim story to the halachos of Mikra Megillah. And the Mishnah mentioned a whole bunch of different laws that pertain to reading the Megillah. The first law was Hakoyre es haMegillah l'mafreya lo yotza. If somebody reads the Megillah l'mafreya out of order, even though he reads all the words, he reads it from a kosher Megillah, he reads it with a minyan, with the trup, La yotza, the halach is, he's not going to be yotza. The Gemara brought a braitza that said that this idea of akoyre lemafreya la yotza is not exclusive to Mikra Megillah, but rather it relates to other dinim as well. Number one, if somebody would recite halal lemafreya, he wouldn't be yotza. If somebody would say kriyishma lemafreya, he wouldn't be yotza. If somebody would say shmoyne esrei tfilo lemafreya, there too he would not be yotza. And the Gemara did what it always does, and that is, what's the makar that a koyres hamegillah lemafreya is lo yotza? What's the makar that if somebody reads halal lemafreya lo yotza? What's the makar that if someone says kriyishma lemafreya lo yotza? And what's the makar that if somebody would say shmoyne esrei out of order, he wouldn't be yotza? So we're in the middle of the last part of the Gemara, which discusses tefillah, that it has to be kaseder, and that if somebody would say shmoyne esrei lemafreya, he would be yotza. Now the Gemara did a deep dive into the seder of shmoyne esrei, and the seder of shmoyne esrei is very, very precise. From a high level, it begins with three brachos that describe shvach v'hidah l'Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Then we have 12 brachos of bakashos, of tefillos. And then the last three brachos are brachos of hoidah. Now, what's the history of these brachos? And what's the history of the Seder? So the Gemara brought two versions. The first one was a braisa that said, Shimon hapekuli hister shmoyne esrei brachos lefnei Rabbi Akiva, lefnei Rabbi Gamliel ala Seder b'yavna. That the origin of shmoyne esrei dates back to Yavna, so that's circa Churban Bayasheni. And the one that was Masada, these brachas, was someone by the name of Shimon HaPakuli, Shimon the cotton merchant. And he was Masada the Shmoyne Esrei, and he did so in the presence of the great Rabbi Gamliel. The Gemara brought another version that said, Me'ev Asrim Skenim, there were 120 Skenim, Ubahem Kama Nevi'im, and amongst them, many were Nevi'im. They were the ones that were Masakin Shmoyne Esrei Allah Seder. But either way, there's a Seder to Shmoyne Esrei. The order of the brachos matter. If somebody would recite the Shmoyne Esrei out of order, he would not fulfill the mitzvah, and we're in the middle of discussing the particular Seder. So the last bracha of Shmoyne Esrei that the Gemara discussed, where we left off the previous daf, was by the bracha of Moedim. Hatoiv Shimcha Ulucha Noel Hoidei. So what comes after Moedim? So by Chazar Sashatz, Birchas Kayanim. So says the Gemara, Maro Loimer Birchas Kayanim Achaida. Why is it that after the bracha of Moedim, the next thing that we say is Birchas Kayanim? The Chsiv, because the pasuk says, Vayisa Aharon Es Yadav Elohim. Aharon lifted his hands to the nation, Vayivarchem, and he benched them. Aharon was a Kayan, he was a Kayan Gadol. He benched the nation, which means Birchas Kayanim. Vayered me'asois hachatos v'ha'oila v'hashlonim. And he got down from bringing karbonos. So says the Gemara, that you see that after Avoida, that's when you're supposed to do Birchas Kayanim. So that we just said Avoida, ha'machzer shchinosoi l'tziyoi. Then we said Moedim, true. And then afterwards, we say Berchas Koyanim, because you see that after the Karbonis that Aharon brought, he went and he benched the Am. So if that's the way Aharon did it, that's the way we should do it as well. But the Gemara says, Eima Koydim Avoida. If that pasuk is the Makar, maybe it should be before Avoida. Why? Because first it says, Vayis Aharon Es Yadav El Am Vayivarchim. First it says Berchas Koyanim. And then afterwards, Vayered Me'asoy Sachatas Va'oilo Ve'ashlamim. So the Gemara, Lo Yisol G'daitach. It's true, in the Pasuk, first it mentions the fact that Aharon blessed the nation, and then afterwards it mentions the carbon. But what the Pasuk is really saying is not that first Aharon benched, and then he did the Avodah. To the contrary, first he did the Avodah, and then he benched. Meaning, when did Aharon go and bench the Am? Me'asoyz achatos, after he brought the chatos. Miksiv lasoyz? Me'asoyz ksiv. If it would have said, v'yisaharon esiyot v'lo'am v'yivarchem, and then v'yered lasoyz achatos, so then you would say, you're right, first he went and he benched the Am, and then afterwards he brought the karbonis. But what it says is, v'yisaharon esiyot v'lo'am v'yivarchem v'yered me'asoyz achatos. You see, first he brought the chatos, so Birchas Kohanim is not going to come before Avodah, it's going to come after Avodah. So the Gemara says, V'lemer achar Avodah. Okay, then say right after Avodah. We should go from Ritzei, V'sechazenu einenu, before Moedim, we should do Berchas Kayanim. So the Gemara says, L'sol kataitach, because in yesterday's daf, we already said that the Avodah and Hoidah have to come together. D'chsiv zoyveyach toidah. Zoyveyach is Avodah, toidah is Hoidah. But the Gemara says, my chaz is the samchas ahayis moichahayit. Meaning I have a makar to tell me that right after Avodah, you should say moidim. Zoyveyach, and then afterwards toidah. I have a makar that's mashma, that right after Avodah, we should do berchas kayinim. Because that's what Aharon did. Vayis Aharon esiyot avalo'am vayivarchem, vayyered me'asay sechatas vayil vashlamim. So how do you know which one to rely on? Which makar is better? So the Gemara says, mistabra Avodah v'hoidah chadam ilsi. It makes more sense. Zoyveyach toidah should be the makar, because Avodah and Hoidah are more related to each other than is Avodah and Birchas Kayanim. The truth is, this svar that the Gemara gives is really a little bit of a chiddush, because in the sugyas of Birchas Kayanim goes down really as some sort of Avodah. And it's Negeya, Halacha, an Oinein, for example, is not allowed to duchen, because an Oinein is not allowed to do the Avodah. And someone that's not allowed to do the Avodah would also not be allowed to duchen. There's different Halachas that would seem to suggest this, but this is what the Gemara says. The Gemara says Avodah and Haidah are more related to each other. That's where we go from Amachse, Shechinasa, Letzion, right into Moedim, and only afterwards do we duchen. So the Gemara, Maro, Loim, Sim Shalom, Achas, Birchas Kayanim. Why is it that right after Birchas Kayanim we say Sim Shalom? It's based on the pasuk V'samu Hashmi al bnei Yisrael va'ani avarchem. Okay, and bracha da Hakadosh Baruch Hu Shalom. The ikur bracha of Hakadosh Baruch Hu is Shalom. Shenemar Hashem yivarech es amoy v'shalom. Now the truth is, there are many brachas that Hakadosh Baruch Hu bestows upon His people, but the ikur bracha, bracha da Kadosh Baruch Hu is Shalom. And it could be the Pashim Shad is, because the Gemara says, Loi Matza HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kli Machzik Bracha Ela HaShalom. Really, in order for a person to have any bracha in his life, he has to have Shalom. Because the Kli, that's Machzik Bracha, the utensil that is able to contain bracha is Shalom. So you can have all the bracha, but if you have no Kli, in order to be Machzik that bracha, so where's the bracha gonna be? So you need the shalom in order to have bracha. So really, any bracha that a person's gonna get, gizon, parnasa, nachis, needs shalom. Because shalom is the kli that's machzik bracha. So right after the bracha, what do we say? We say the bracha of shalom. Because bracha, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is shalom. Says the Gemara. So in the beginning of the daf, we mentioned the Seder of Shmei Nasrei. And we had two versions of what happened. One version is Shimon HaPakuli was the one that was Mesader, the Shmei Nasrei. He did it in Yavd in the presence of Rabbi Gamliel. And then we had a braisa that says that no, really it dates back hundreds of years earlier. It was the 120 Skenim, Umehem Kamenavim, also known as the Anche Knesset Zagdailo. They were the ones that were Masakin Shmei Nasri. So Frank the Gemara of Chemiachim, Mevasim Skenim, Kamenavim, Tiknut Tfilah La Seder. If really Shmei Nasri goes so far back to the Anche Knesset Zagdailo, Shimon HaPakuli may his this. So what did Shimon HaPakuli have to do? Meaning we're assuming it's not a machloikas, but that everyone agrees that the Anche Knesset Zagdailo are the original author of the Shmei Nasrei. So Frank the Gemara, why would Shimon HaPakuli then have to get involved if this was something that was already done by the Anshe Knesset Zagdailo? So the Gemara says, you have to say, Shakrum v'chazar v'sidrum. That just like we saw in the beginning of the Masechta, that there were certain things that even though it's hard to understand how they would have been forgotten, but they were forgotten. And in that list is the Shmei Nasrei. So it's true, Shmei Nasrei was instituted initially by the Anshe Knesset Zagdailo, but somewhere along the way it was forgotten. And Shimon HaPakuli had to come, and he had to bring back the Shmei Nasrei, and it's for that reason this cotton merchant is Zachar Latov, and he goes down as a very important person in Jewish history. And that is he, not created the Shemoneh Esrei, but at the same time, at a time where there was it looked a little bleak that maybe it would be forgotten, he reinstated it. Says the Gemara, as it relates to the Shemoneh Esrei, Mikam ve'elach, if somebody would want to add, Asur l'saper b'shvachet shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it would be not okay. It's an interesting line. It's asur to tell the praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why? What would be the reason for this? Rabbi Lazar said, Ma'idich, so what's pshat in the pasuk that says, Mi yamalel gvureis Hashem, yashmiya kol tehilasei. Pashat, what it means is, who's the person that can express all the gvura of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Who's the one that could be yashmiya kol tehilasei? But the way Rabbi Lazar darshaned it was, Lemi na lemal gvureis Hashem. It's a question and answer. You want to know for whom it's okay to be lemal gvureis Hashem? The answer is, Lemi sheyachal yashmiya kol tehilasei. Someone that's able to tell all his praise. And let's be honest, there's no one today that can do that. And it's for that reason, it's impossible to be Moisef. They were able to do it. But after that, only someone that's Yachal Hashmiya Kol Tehilasei. And until that person emerges, it's aser to add anything to the Shemoneh Esrei. On this note, Amar Rabbi Bar Bachana Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Bachana, send the name of the great Rabbi Yochanan. If somebody sings the praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but he overdoes it, Yoyser Midai, he's excessive. Nekar mina oilam. Wow. He's going to be uprooted from the world. Shenema, the pasuk says, Hayis super loy ki adaber im amar ish ki yevula. If someone's going to be mesaper too much, shvach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know what's going to end up happening? The last word of this pasuk, yevula. He's going to be swallowed up. So it's not okay for a person to be maflig yoyser midai b'shvachay shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. More on this note, Tarish Rabbi Yehuda ish kfar gibay raya v'amri lo. Some say he was ish kfar gibar chayo. So regardless of which village he came from, what was his drasha? Might this is what's written in the pasuk that says, l'cha dumiya sohila. To you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, dumiya. Silence is the greatest shvach. Sama de kula mashtuka. The best medicine for a person is to be quiet. If a person can be quiet, that's the best medication. The refuah for all the makas is for a person to be a shaskin. Kelsa Rav Dimi Yomar. Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael back to Bavel. He reported the following. He said, Amri b'marava. There's a nice saying that I picked up when I was in Eretz Yisrael. So Rav Dimi came back with a lot of Torah and a lot of Mesorah, with a lot of answers to questions that the Chachmei HaTalmud in Bavel didn't know the answer to. He also came back with a saying. He said, I'll tell you what they say in the street. Mila b'sela, that if you're willing to buy a word for a seller, or if the going price for a mila is a seller, mashtuka betrayin, then you should pay 2 slaim for a little bit of silence. Meaning silence, to be quiet, is more valuable than it is to make noise. Either way, this concludes this portion of the daf. What was this portion of the daf? It was a continuation to really the majority of yesterday's daf, which discussed the halacha, the first halacha of the second parak of Masechtas Megillah, HaKoyrei es HaMegillah LeMafrei Allah Yatzah. And as we saw, it's not only the Megillah. HaKoyrei es HaHal LeMafrei Allah Yatzah, HaKoyrei Kriyishma LeMafrei Allah Yatzah, and HaKoyrei Tefila LeMafrei Allah Yatzah. The Svarim HaKadoshim say that even though this halacha of HaKoyrei LeMafrei Allah Yatzah, as we saw, is not unique to Megillah, Megillah, Hallel, Kriyash, Matfila. But there is a special significance as it relates to Megillah. And that is because the whole godless of the Purim story, and really the whole Persume Nisa, is not so much qualitatively what happened, because there was nothing really out of the ordinary that happened. The sea was never split, right? There was nothing that took place that was Shalai Katera Chateva. The story and the miracle is really the sequence in which it took place. Vashti's killed, Esther becomes the queen, Haman rises to power, Mordechai overhears a conversation with Bigson Viseresh, and at the end of the story, La'yehuda ma'isa'ayra v'simcha v'sasim v'yikar. So really, the Persume Nisa of Megillas Esther is the sequence. It's the Seder. So it's Pashat, HaKoyrei es HaMegillah LeMafrei Allah Yatzah. Because if you're going to read it out of order, you're not going to get the highlights. You're going to miss the whole story. The whole story is following the Cheshbon, following the Seder, coming to a pinnacle where you realize Hashem Echad Ushmai Echad, and that everything that looked bad was really HaToyva HaMetiv. That's the whole punchline of the Purim story. So if somebody reads the Megillah out of order, if you're a Koyrei LeMafreya, say the Svarim HaKadoshim La Yatzah, because really you missed the whole Sfina in terms of what it is, the whole Purim story. Either way, moving along the Mishnah. So the Mishnah said HaKoyrei es HaMegillah LeMafreya La Yatzah. The next halacha was Kara Al Peh. If somebody reads the Megillah Al Peh, La Yatzah, Kriyas HaMegillah is like Kriyas HaTorah. And just like Kriyas HaTorah, you have to read the Baal Keira does from a Sefer Torah. So the Megillah is the same way. So the Gemara says to me, no. How do you know that Kriyas HaMegillah has to be from a Sefer? How do you know that it can't be Baal Peh? Omer Rava, Rava said, Asi Schirach Schirach. We know from Gzeira Shava, from the word Schirach. Sifach, it says regarding the Megillah, Vayomim Ma'ele Niskarim. The word Schirach by the Megillah, Viksif Hasam. And it says regarding the mitzvah to remember Amalek, Kisoyv Zois Zikaroi Basefer. Gewaldig. Mala halam basefer. Just like there it's in a sefer. Afkam a sefer. So to here it has to be in a sefer. Umimai says the Gemara, the high schira kriyohi. Dilma iyum ba'alma. How do you know that when it says zikarin basefer, it even means kriya? It's true, it says sefer. But maybe you don't even need a kriya. Maybe it means iyum ba'alma. Maybe you have to look in a sefer and be mayin and analyze and think a little bit about the story of Amalek. But how do you know it means you actually have to read it from a sefer? So the Gemara says, you can't say that, because there's already a chazal that addresses this and makes it very, very clear that when it comes to the mitzvah of remembering Amalek, you have to remember it from a sefer. The chsiv zachar, it says, zachar, es asha asa lucha Amalek. Yochav alev, you would think that you could do it even belev. It says regarding Amalek, leisishkach. That means you can't forget it. That's an avoidah shabalev. Hamani mekayim zachar. So what does zachar mean? Bepeh. It must mean bepeh. And this is how we know that when it says zikarim basefer, it means you have to read it from a sefer. If Amalek you have to read from a sefer, then Megillah you also have to read from a sefer. Why? Gzeira shava. Asya schirach schirach. Now the truth is, many gzeira shavas in Shas are based on two words that are common in two respective parshiyos, even though maybe the two parshiyos have absolutely nothing to do with each other. But Chazal had a mesayra, literally, halacha l'moshe misinai, that there's a connection between these two words, thus the two parshias, thus you can learn one halacha from the other. But it's pashit, based on raid that we spoke about a few days ago, that this gzeira shava isn't just a regular gzeira shava. Asya schira schira. What we're saying is that just like when it comes to remembering Amalek, there's a din of ksoiv zoi zikarim basefer, so too, when there's a mitzvah to read the Purim story, and Megillas Esther, it has to be mitoich sefer. What's the oimek? What's the havana? It's because reading Megillas Esther is, on some level, a kiyum of zachar es asha asa l'cha Amalek. Because Haman was a descendant of Amalek, and as we mentioned, that really there's a sub-theme in the entire Purim story, and that is fighting Amalek. As a result, it makes sense that reading the Megillah on some level would be remembering Amalek. So this Gzeira Shav of Asya Schira Schira isn't just, we have two random parshiyos and I can learn, oh, there it's supposed to be Mitoich HaSefer, here too it's supposed to be Mitoich HaSefer. No, if Schira Amalek has to be Mitoich HaSefer, so it makes sense in Svara that the Mikra Megillah should also be Mitoich HaSefer. Just one other thing worth mentioning before we go weiter, and that is that the Rishonim say that this Gemara is the Makar to something that everybody knows. That is, Kriyas HaTorah is a mitzvah de Rabbanah. There's no mitzvah de Raisa to go Vayihi ben Saya Aron on Shabbos and to have a Baal Keira and call up seven aliyahs, Metamafter. There's no such mitzvah de Raisa. It's from Takanas Moshe Rabbeinu, Takanas Ezra. It's all Takanas Chazal. It's not a de Raisa. But there's one Kriyas HaTorah that's de Raisa. And that is Parsha Zachar. Some say Parsha's Para. But for sure, Parsha Zachar, Rav Rishonim hold, is a de Raisa. What's the Makar? This Gemara is the Makar. Because the Gemara says, Ksoiv Zois Zikarein Basefer. And Basefer means literally Mitoich HaSefer. So you see that the mitzvah of Zachar Es Asha Asa L'cha Amalek, it's not okay to simply remember and declare, even to say it Baal Peh. But it has to be Mitoich HaSefer. Sefer means a Sefer Torah. It means a klav. That's what a Sefer means. So if you see clearly, Ksoiv Zois Zikarein Basefer, this is the Makar to Parsha Zachar being a Deiraisa, the Inkam Mekoyim. So going back to the Mishnah, so the Mishnah said that HaKoyros HaMegillah L'mafrei Lo Yatzah. We know that. Kar Al Peh. Lo Yatza. Then the Mishnah said, what happens if somebody reads the Megillah in a different language? So, a few lines. Kara Targum. If somebody would read the Megillah in Targum. Targum means in Aramaic. Bechalashin. Or he'd read it in any language. Lo Yatza. It wouldn't be Yatza. Avakirin Oysa Lulo Yazis Palas. Then the Mishnah says that even though if you would read the Megillah in another language, you wouldn't be Yatza. However, if you read the Megillah in another language, meaning not Lashon Kodesh, to someone that speaks that language, then it's going to be okay. Or, Vahaloyes. Someone that doesn't speak Lashon Kodesh, Shashana Ashuris, who hears the Megillah in Ashuris and Lashon Kodesh, Yatza, he's going to be Yatza. So the Mishnah starts off saying, if somebody hears the Megillah in another language, he's not Yoytza. Sounds pretty straightforward. You have to hear the Megillah in Lashon Kodesh. But then the Mishnah makes it clear that it's not so straightforward. Because the Mishnah then says, if you want to read it in another language, to someone that speaks that other language, then he would be Yoytza. So the Gemara is going to now spend the next several lines trying to unpack these two lines of the Mishnah. Zok the Gemara. Kara Targum La Yoytza. Hichidami. What does it mean when it says Kara Targum? Ilemil, Tichsiva Mikra Vikarli Targum doesn't mean they have a Balkaira, he's standing in front of a Megillah, a Kosher Megillah that's written in Balashan Kaidish, and instead of reading Balashan Kaidish, he decides to read it in Targum. So essentially, he's reading it by heart, because even though he's looking at the words, but he's looking at the words in Lashon Kodesh, he's reading it in Aramaic. Kar al peh. Anyways, you're not Yoytze. That was the previous halacha in the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, like, Tzricha dechsiv a targum, a kar li targum. You have to say, it's talking about where the person had a Megillah. The Megillah is written in Aramaic, and he's reading it in Aramaic. So he's actually reading it in the language that the Megillah is written. I would have thought it's okay. That's the Chiddush, kar a targum, la yotza. Then it said, kar b'chal lashon la yotza. Here's the caveat. Aval kairi noisa, lilo yazle spalas. But if you want to read it in another language, or someone that speaks that language, it's going to be okay. Frank the Gemara, Amrit Karbachal Lashon LaYotza. Didn't you just say that if you read it in another language other than Lashon Kodesh, you're not Yotza? So how could you tell me in the same breath, Toich Kedei Dibor, literally in the same line, that if you read it to someone that speaks the other language, you're going to be Yotza? Are you not Yotza B'chal Lashon? Or are you sometimes, yeah, Yotza B'chal Lashon? So the Gemara says, Rav and Shmuel, Amitravai, Rav and Shmuel both answered this question together. Right? Usually, Rav and Shmuel are on opposite sides of the equation. But here, Rav and Shmuel, they both were in agreement. They said in unison, Belaz Yavani, that when the Mishnah says, Kairin Oysa Lulayazis Belaz, that if someone speaks another language, you could read it in that other language. You know which language they meant? They meant the language of Greek. And what's special about Greek? Oh, we learned that together. Not so long ago, we had the Gemara in Daf Tes, where the Gemara said, Yaftali kinli yefes, the yishkoin ba'ale shel shem. Yafyofusoi shel yefes, yishkoin ba'ale shem. So you see, there's something special about Greek, ironically. But the point is that what the Mishnah means when it says you can read the Megillah in another language, it means Greek. Zok the Gemara, hechidami. Let's understand a little bit better. Is it talking about where the Megillah itself is written in Ashuris, was written in Lashon Kodesh, and the Balkaira read it in Greek, and that's what we're saying, it's good, as long as you're reading it to people that speak Greek, that's Balpeh. Balpeh for sure is not good. Am Rav Elazar, so Rav Elazar said, the name of Rav Elazar, Sheksuva Balazi Yavonis. No, Pasha, it's talking about where the Megillah was written in Greek, the Balkaira read it in Greek, to people that understood Greek. Greek is different, therefore you're going to be Yotza. So just to digress for a second, we just mentioned Omer Rav Acha, Omer Rav Elazar. So apparently you don't get this combination that often in Shas. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you something else, no shaykhis to what we're discussing, that Rav Acha said in the name of Rav Elazar. Omer Rav Acha, Omer Rav Elazar. How do you know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu referred to Yaakov with the word Kael? Shenemar, Vayikra Loi, Kael, Elikei Yisrael. Now, you could read this Pasuk, Vayikra Loi, so the Pasuk is talking about Yaakov, that Yaakov called this area Kael Elikei Yisrael. But the Gemara says it's not what it means, because these are what Aitach Lemesbeach Karlo Yaakov Kael. Because if it means that Yaakov himself was the one that called the place, or more specifically the Mizbeach that was there, Kael, Vayikra Lo Yaakov Mibayle. It should have said Yaakov is the one that did it. Vayikra Lo Yaakov would suggest that Yaakov is the one that did it. Elo Vayikra Lo Li Yaakov. Not Vayikra Yaakov, but Vayikra Metalamid Li Yaakov Kael. It was Yaakov was called Kael. Umi Kari Kael. Who called him Kael? Elikei Yisrael. So Rabbi Acha said the name Rabbi Elazar, a little bit of a chiddush, had to understand this pasuk. The pasuk again says, Vayikra loy Kael Elikei Yisrael. And he teached it like this, Vayikra loy Kael. He called him meaning Yaakov Kael. Who? Elikei Yisrael. That's the end of the pasuk. Either way, so what we just said was that really, if somebody reads the Megillah B'chal Lashon, he's not going to be Yotza. One exception to the rule. And that exception is Greek. Greek is different. Yaftali kimli yafes. And because of that, if somebody would read the Megillah in Greek to someone that speaks Greek, the halacha is he would be Yotza. Meisvei. Frei the Gemara. Kasha from Abraisa. Kora giftis ivris ilmis mit modis and yavonis. These are a whole bunch of different languages. Lo yotza. You're not going to be Yotza. What's the kasha? It says yavonis. It says Greek. So you see clearly you're not Yotza with Greek. Rav and Shmuel said Greek is different. You see from the Braisa, no. The Braisa mentions a whole bunch of other languages that if you'd read the Megillah, you wouldn't be Yotza. And one of those languages is Greek. So the Gemara says, Holo Damya Eloloha. No, you can't ask Akasha from there because that Braisa is talking about one thing. Rav and Shmuel were talking about something else. What were Rav and Shmuel talking about? They were discussing the following Braisa. Giftis le giftim, Ivris le Ivrim, Ilmis le Ilmin, Yevonis, Yotli Yevonim, Yotza. if the Braisa says clearly that even though if you would read the Megillah in one of those languages, it wouldn't be okay, specifically Yavanis, but if it's Yavanis Yavanim, then it would be okay. And that's what Rav and Shmuel were talking about. Rav and Shmuel are talking about what the Mishnah is talking about, and that is that you're reading the Megillah in another language, but to someone that speaks that language. And in that case, you're going to be Yaitzis, afraid the Gemara. What's the obvious question? Ihachi, if what emerges from this last Braisa is that if you read the Megillah in another language, as long as the person speaks that language, you're going to be Yaitzis. And it seems clear from the Braisa, not only Greek, Giftis legiftim, Ivris leivrim, Ilmis leilmim, also Yavanis leivanim. So Rav and Shmuel, as it relates to Rav and Shmuel, Amay mukmin dey demasiz balaz Yavanis, why did they have to make the Mishnah be talking dafka about Yavanis Greek? Lukma b'chalas. They could have said that it's talking about in any language, right? Why do we have to make such an akimta? So the Gemara says, you're right. Elamas nisin kebraisa. As it relates to the Mishnah, going back to the Mishnah again, the Mishnah says if somebody reads the Megillah b'chalashin, you're not yoitza. Then it says that if you could read it in another language. What's the teretz? The first part of the Mishnah is talking about where you're reading it in another language and the Olam doesn't speak that language. So you get up, you read the Megillah in Greek and the Olam doesn't speak Greek. Then you're not Yaitza. The second part of the Mishnah is talking about where you're reading it in another language but the Olam speaks that language. Meaning the Mishnah is like that second Braisa. That's what the Mishnah is referring to. Where the Olam speaks that other language and therefore you're going to be Yaitza. Okay, so what were Rav and Shmuel talking about? Rav and Shmuel made a whole Akimta. They said the Mishnah is talking about Greek. So the Rav and Shmuel, Rav and Shmuel were talking about something else. The Rav and Shmuel, Dami Chavayu, Laz Yavani Lakol Kash. I mean, they weren't referring to the Mishnah. The Mishnah, you don't have to come on to Rav and Shmuel. You don't have to come on to Greek. The Mishnah is very pashut. The Mishnah is saying that it's true you can't be Yoitz B'Chalashin, but if you speak the other language, then you could be Yoitz B'Chalashin. Rav and Shmuel was saying their own halacha. By the way, Mishnah never addressed this. I'm telling you, there's one language that you could be Yoitza, even if you don't speak it, and that is Greek. Frank the Gemara, Avakasha now, Rav and Shmuel. Vaktani Yavanis Liyavanim. Didn't the second Braisa say that Greek is kosher, but only for people that speak Greek? For the Yavanim, it's kosher. The Yavanim, Ilukuli Amaloi, it sounds like only for the Yavanim it's okay, but for someone else not. So the Gemara says, Rav and Shmuel knew that Braisa. However, they held that Braisa is not in agreement with everybody, and they paskind with the chalkim on that brisa. Who argues with this brisa? Inu the amar ki Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. They held like Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. The time we learned to the Mishnah, Rav Shimon Gamliel, like Rav Shimon Gamliel said, af svarim lo yitiru sheyichdavu eli yavanis, that really you're not allowed to write sifrei kodesh in other languages, even though the chalkim hold you could. They hold you can't. The only language Rav Shimon Gamliel holds you could is yavanis. And just like you could write a sefer Torah, for example, in yavanis, so too you'd be able to write a Megillah in yavanis as well. So really, all Rav and Shmuel is saying is that Allah is like Rav Shimon Gamliel. That Yavanis is different. So why didn't they just say that? The Gemara says, no, it's not Pasha. Because yeah, Allah is like Rav Shimon Gamliel. Had they simply said that Allah is like Rav Shimon Gamliel, I would have thought, Hanim Ili Shar Svarim. That's only true by all the Svarim. Ava Megillah maybe is different. The Chsiba Kichsavim. It says Kichsavim in the Megillah. Kichsavim Uchizmanim. So I would have thought, Eim Allah, it has to be literally Kichsavim the way it's written. And the Ikur Megillah is Balash and Kodesh. Maybe it should have to be Balash and Kodesh. Kamashmal, and that's the Chiddush, it's going to be okay. But the bottom line is, what we're saying is that really, if somebody reads the Megillah B'chaloshan, are you Yoitz or not? So first the Mishnah says no, but then already the Mishnah says, oh, maybe sometimes, yeah. What comes out from the Gemara? There's really two ways that you could be Yoitza, the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah, in a language other than Lashon Kodesh. Number one, if you speak that other language, then you're going to be Yoitza. It doesn't matter what language it is. If you speak the other language, you could be Yoitza with that other language. Number two, according to Rav and Shmuel, Greek. Greek is different. Yafta lekim leyafes. You can be yotze with Greek. V'haloyes sheshama ashuris yotze. The Mishnah said that if you speak Lashon Kodesh, or if you hear the Megillah in Lashon Kodesh, even if you don't speak Lashon Kodesh, for sure you're going to be yotze. Frankly, how could you be yotze in Lashon Kodesh if you don't speak Lashon Kodesh? V'loyada my kamri. You have no idea what's going on. Could you be yotze in a Megillah if you don't understand? Tamar says, yeah. Midi dehavi anashim v'amei ha'aretz. Women very often didn't speak Lashon Kodesh. Am Ha'aret certainly doesn't speak Lashon Kodesh. He could be Yoitza the Megillah. As long as you hear the words, you're Yoitza. You actually don't have to speak the language. Maskev Ravina. Ravina asked the Kasha, Otu Anan, Wachashteron, B'nei Ramak, Mi Adinon. He said, you're not sure? What's the Maskev Ravina? Ravina said, I don't understand this whole shmooze. I don't understand this whole conversation. Like, you have a whole shayla over here, a whole chakira. Do you have to understand the Megillah? Do you not have to understand the Megillah? He said, let's be honest. Nobody understands. And still with Yoitza, even though no one knows what those words mean. So you see, you don't have to know what every word means. Elam, it's Kriya, Prisum, Enisa. You have to read the Megillah by reading the Megillah.
You're being a farce and you're making public this great miracle that took place. No, that's what the mitzvah is. Even if you don't understand it, it's going to be okay. So if you hear it in Lashon Kodesh, even if you don't understand Lashon Kodesh, that in and of itself is going to be fine. So moving along in the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Kora Seirugin. If somebody hears the Megillah Seirugin, Yotza, he's going to be Yotza. So the Gemara that we're about to learn, if it feels familiar, it's because we learned this Gemara verbatim not so long ago in Masechtas Rosh Hashanah, Dav Chav Vav Amid Beis, word for word from here until the bottom of the Amid. So the Gemara says, Le'haviyadi Rabbanu, Rabbanu didn't know my Seirugin, what the word Seirugin means. The Pasha didn't know what it means. They knew the Mishnah, but they didn't know what the words mean. Shamula Amsa Debei Rebbe, they overheard the Amsa Debei Rebbe, the maidservant, the housekeeper in Rebbe's house, the Kamerlu the Rabbanu, Daviyadi Piski Piski Debei Rebbe. So one day the Olam was coming in to learn by Rebbe, and they were coming in piecemeal. People were coming, and then more and then more. So she commented, she said, "At masli atem nechnasim seirugin seirugin. Why are you coming in seirugin?" So they said, "Aha, now we know what seirugin means. Seirugin means a little at a time." So what would the Mishnah mean if you read the Megillah seirugin? What it would mean is you read a little bit, and then you stop, and then you read again, and then you stop, and then more, and then you pause. That's what Seirugin is. Mishnah says, Yoytza. But now they figured out what Seirugin means. So on this note, a digression. We have the other Rabbanim, my Chaloy Gloigos. The Rabbanim didn't know what the word Chaloy Gloigos means. Shemulam, the Rebbe, they overheard Rebbe's housekeeper, the Amr Leila Hu Gavra, she told a certain person, that Kamavadi Parpechini, that he was spreading a certain herb on his bread. And Masai Atam Mefazer Chaloy Gloigecha. They said, okay, clearly that's what it is. It's that spread. Levi had the Rabbanim didn't know what the pasuk Salsaleha Usrei Memekwa means. It's a pasuk in Mishlei. Shemul Amsa Debei Rebbe. Again, they heard Rebbe's housekeeper. Davis Amrel Hu Gavish. He was telling a certain person. Davim Hapich Bemazia. He was playing with his hair. Amrel Eishi told him, Ad Masai Atam Mesalsal Besairach. How long are you going to be playing? You're going to be draying your hair. So they really, Salsaleha means to comb or to dray. Levi Avi Adi Rabbanon. What the pasuk Hashtech Al Hashem Yehovcha means. Amr Rabbi Bar Barchana. So Rabbi Bar Barchana says, Zim Lechada Haba Ozilna Bahadi Yahutai. I was once working with a certain Arab merchant, the Kadarina Tura, and Tuna, and I was carrying a load. And he told me, Shkol Yehovich, take your load, the Shadi Agamloi, put it on my camel. So said Rabbi Bar Bachana, then I realized what the pasuk means. A Yehov is a load. Hashlich al Hashem Yehovcha, take your load and give it to HaKadosh Baruch. Hashem is willing to help you carry it. Layavi Adi Rabbanu, the Gemara says, Rabbanu didn't know, my, what the pasuk, the Teteisia bimatate means. Hashmei, that's part of the pasuk. Shemul Amsad Bei Rebbe, they overheard Amsad Bei Rebbe say, Davis Amr the Chaverta, she told her friend, Shkuli Tateisa, take the broom, Vetate Beisa, and sweep the house. They realize, Vetate Sia Bimetate means to sweep. Zok the Gemara. So again, the Mishnah said, Korasei Rugin Yotz, Abraisa, that elaborates on this point. Tanu Rabbanu, Korasei Rugin Yotz. If somebody reads the Megillah, say Rugin Yotz. And what is Sei Rugin? We know it from Amsad Bei Rebbe. So you read a little bit, and you pause, and you read a little bit more, and then you pause, Seirusin. What if somebody reads the Megillah, Seirusin? La Yotze, you're not Yotze. So what does Seirusin mean? Rashi, Limafreya. So if you read the Mafreya, La Yotze. Mishnah already said that. That's the name of the Perek. Akoyres HaMegillah Limafreya, La Yotze. So if someone reads Limafreya, you're not Yotze. The Braisa says the same halacha, albeit in a different nusach. If someone reads Seirusin, you're not Yoitza. Zok the Gemara. So Seirugin, you're Yoitza. Seirusin, you're not Yoitza. Ramuna Oimer, Ramuna said, Mishum Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Rabbi Yehuda. Af b'Seirugin. Even though the Mishnah and the Braitza both said, if you read the Megillah b'Seirugin, you're Yoitza, it's not so posh. You have to read the fine print. Even when it comes to Seirugin, in Shak, they ligmar as kula chayzal resh. If while you're reading the Megillah, you would pause, and you would pause so long that in that time that you paused, that time that you took a break, during your hefsik, you could have finished the whole Megillah. Now you have to start from the beginning. Now already you have to start. Amar Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef said, Halacha k'Rav Muna. Amar Rav Shem Rav Yehuda. Rav Yosef paskin like Rav Muna in the name of Rav Yehuda. Amar Le Abayi. Rav Yosef. Abayi told Rav Yosef. Whenever there's Rav Yosef, there's Abayi. K'dei ligmar eskula mehecha dekoy l'seifa idoma mireshal l'seifa. He said, I want to understand Rav Muna's halacha a little bit better. Right? He asked him a very basic question, an elementary shayla. What did Rav Muna say? That if someone's reading the Megillah and he stops, he takes a little bit of a break. So he took a break for 10 minutes. If you could have finished the Megillah during those 10 minutes, then you have to start all over again. Did he mean that the break was so long that you could have started and finished the Megillah? Or did it mean from where you were holding, You could have finished the Megillah. Meaning you're holding already. And then you take a break. So you took a 10-minute break. Those 10 minutes, you could have finished the Megillah. You couldn't have read the whole Megillah during those 10 minutes. So that's the Shiloh. Could they ligmar as kula from the beginning? Or could they ligmar as kula from where you're up to? Amalais Rav Yosef told Abaye, Mireisha L'Seifa. No, it means enough time that you could have started and finished all Megillah. How do I know that? Because Dim Kain, if that's not what it means, Nasatu Dvarecha L'Shiurim. So it's going to mean this halach is going to be different for every person. Any person that takes a break in the middle of the Megillah, so whether he has to start from the beginning or not is going to depend on his individual case. And Chazal don't like giving halachas that way. Because Nasatu Dvarecha L'Shiurim, we try to be uniform when we implement the halacha. So Rabbi Yosef said that it's mistaber, just based on the general principles of Takanas Chazal, that it probably means that if you took a break so long that you could have started and finished during that time, that's where it's not. Amar Rab Abba, Amar Rab Yirmiyah Bar Abba, Amar Rav, Halacha Kiramuna. So Rab Abba said in the name of Rab Yirmiyah Bar Abba, who said in the name of Rab, the names matter, the halacha is like Rav Muna. Again, that even though if you read the Megillah, say Rugen Yoyitza, but if you break so long that you could have started and finished the Megillah, then you're not Yoyitza. Vishmul, Amar Shmul said, Ein Halacha Kiramuna. Okay. Besura Masnahachi. The way we just presented it, meaning Machloikis, Rav, and Shmuel, is the way they said it in Surah. But Pumpadisa, however, in Pumpadisa, was another one of the great Babylonian cities, Masnahachi, they said it a little bit differently. They said, not Amarab Abba, Amarab Yirbi, and Barabba, Amarab Aloch Gramuna, but rather Amarab Kahana, Amarab. So it's Rav, but it's Rav Kahana, not Rab Abba, Amarab Yirbi, and Barabba. Again, the names matter. Aloch Gramuna, Aloch Gramuna. Shmuel, Shmuel said, Ein Aloch Gramuna. Rabibi Masni Yipcha. Rabibi said just the opposite, that Rav Amar Ein Aloch Gramuna, the Shmuel Amar Aloch Gramuna. So we have three versions of this machlokes Rav and Shmuel. In the first two versions, Rav is the one that said that halacha is like Rav Muna. Shmuel said halacha is not like Rav Muna. In Rav Bibi, that's the third version, it's just the opposite. Rav said halacha is not like Rav Muna, and Shmuel said halacha is like Rav Muna. I'm Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef said, "Nikoit the Rav Bibi biyotcha." That Rav Bibi, that's the main shot. The Shmuel who the chayish liyachida, because Shmuel is always chayish for a das yachid. Meaning Rav Muna is a big time das yachid. He's the only one that said this chiddush. Clearly, he's a yachid, and Shmuel is consistent then if he was the one that holds like Ramuna, because he's always chayish for a yachid. So what's this halacha where he's chayish for a yachid? So this is a sugi mesachtes yavamis that we're not even going to touch. Just read the words. The Tanah, we learned in the Mishnah, Shemeres Yavam, a woman that's waiting for Yibum, meaning her husband died, she had no children, he left over a brother. In this case, he left over more than one brother. Shekidesh Achav Esachoysa. And one of the brothers, one of the potential Yavams, was Mekadesh, the Yavama's sister, which in the Yavama's vernacular means he was Mekadesh Achoysku Kasai. Either way, Mishum Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira Amru, it was said in the name of Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira, Oimrim Loi, we tell this brother, Hamte Machiyaso Chichagol Amaisa, meaning push off the chasana, don't get married until your older brother, the assumption is he wasn't the oldest brother. So wait until the oldest brother does either Yibam Mechalitza, and then you could go on with your wedding. Amash Shmuel, Shmuel said, this is what we need, here's the punchline, Halacha Kareb Yehuda ben Maseira. We pass like Yehuda ben Maseira. And in that sugi in Yavamis, Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira is also a big time Das Yachid. So you see, Shmuel holds that the halacha is like the Yechida, like the Das Yachid. So said Rabbi Yosef, then it's mistaber that Shmuel would be the one that would say the halacha is like Rav Muna. The Shitah say that he held the halacha as like Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira. What in the world does Rav Muna, in reading the Megillah Seirugin, have to do with Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira in that obscure Sif cotton in Hilchas Yavamis? Nothing. Other than the fact that they're both Yechidim. And if you see Shmuel's Shita is in Psak, in Klalei Psak, that Halacha ki Yechidah, that's Mestaber here too, he would say that the Halacha is like the Yechid. Tana Rabbana. So we're going to discuss more Halachas. Now we're prices that are all related to the topic at hand. Hishmit ba Sofer Oisis. What happens if the Sofer, he left out a few letters in the Megillah? Oy psukim, or he even left out psukim, the Koran, HaKoyrek, and Meturgaman, and then the Bakoyra was reading, and he read it like the Meturgaman. The Meturgaman was the translator. Right, so in the olden days, by Kriyas HaTaira, you had the Bakoyra, he was reading from Sefer Taira, and the Meturgaman would read Baal Peh. We're going to see more about it in the coming Daffin. The Meturgaman read Baal Peh, that's the point. So the Bakoyra usually reads from a Sefer, but here he couldn't read those letters or those words because they were missing. So he read a Baal Peh. So what's the halacha? The halacha is Yotze, he's going to be Yotze. What? He's Yotze Meisveh, last year Kasha. Oh, you bought Isyotze Metushtoshois. If you had letters and these letters were erased, or they were torn out, Imrishumem Nikikshera. If the the roishim is the committee. If you could tell that there were once letters there, then it's kosher. Vim lav, but if there's no trace, psul, it's going to be possible. So you see, it's not so posh that if you're missing letters and words and psukim, then it's a kosher. What's going on here? Mar says, like, kosher, habe kula habe miktasa. Chiddush, it means, it depends on how much you're missing. If you're missing only miktasa, less than half, then it's going to be kosher. If you're missing more than half, that's when it's going to be pasuk. Tan Rabbana, hishmet ba hakayre pasuk echad. What happens if the bakayre skipped the pasuk? So lo yoyim, I shouldn't say, no, okay, I missed it, I'll get back to it. Ekra is kula. Let me finish the Megillah. V'achakakakra is a pasuk, and I'll go back to that pasuk. Elakayre miyotze pasuk elach. No, you can't skip. Right, this is all included in hakayre l'mafrei lo yotze. You have to read every single verse in its proper order. Nichlas the Beisach Knesset. What happens if somebody comes to shul, he shows up late? U'matzat tzibur shakaru chetzio, and he sees that they're already holding the second half of the Megillah. Lo yemer, he shouldn't say, nu ekra chetzio ma tzibur. Let me hear the second half of the Megillah. Ve'achakach ekra chetzio, and then I'll read the first half by myself. That's not okay. Elokayro, isa mitchilas v'atzayfa. You have to read it in order. You have to start from the beginning. You have to take it all the way to the end. And again, if you don't do that, you're violating the halacha of akayro l'mafreya. The Mishnah said that if someone reads the Megillah Misnam name, he's Yotze. So what does it mean, Misnam name? Hechidami Misnam name. Amar Ravashi. Ravashi said, Nim v'loy nim. You're falling asleep, but you're not sleeping. Tir, you're awake, v'loy tir, but you're not 100% awake. The Karlevani, if somebody calls you, you'll answer. V'loyada l'adure svar. You certainly say, can't say anything too intelligent. V'chimit gurle, but if you remind the person of something intelligent, mitgar, he's going to remember. A little more Gemara. Hayi kaisva darsha umagia. The Mishnah said, if somebody was writing a Megillah, he was darshaning the Megillah, he was editing a Megillah, and as he was doing it, he was reading the words. Mkivan liba, if he had a mind to be yotza, yotza. Then lav, if he didn't have a mind to be yotza, lo yotza, he's not going to be yotza. The Gemara says like this. The first halacha, hayi kaisva, someone's writing a Megillah, and while he's writing the Megillah, he says the words. If he has a mind to be Yotza, he's Yotza. Hey Chidami, what's the case? Either Kamasada, Psuka, Psuka. Is it talking about where a person is writing the Megillah? So he first says the Pasuk, and then the Kosovle, he writes it. He could have all the Kavanas in the world. Alpehu, it's Alpeh. Meaning, if first you say the Pasuk and then you write it, there's no way you're Yotza. El, the Kosov, Psuka, Psuka, Vagardly. You're writing it. First you write the Pasuk, and then you read it. Oh, so you're not reading about pay, you're reading it from inside. But a miyotza, why you yotza? I'm Rav Chelbi, I'm Rav Chama Bar Guya, I'm a Rav. Halacha k'divrei oimer kula. The halacha is like the man the omer. We're going to see this in tomorrow's daf. That you have to read the entire Megillah. V'afilu l'man d'omer mi'ishehudi. Z'machoik is how much of the Megillah is ma'akiv. How much of it do you actually have to read? So the Gemara says the halacha is like the man the omer that you have to read the entire Megillah. And then the Gemara says that even according to the man the omer that says you only have to read from ishehudi hayy b'shushan abira, but tzricha sh'teksuva kula. But at the very least, the little bit that you have to read has to be from a Megillah that's written in its entirety. So for sure, in order to be Yotze Mikra Megillah, the entire Megillah has to be written. So what do you mean? You're writing a Megillah. You write, Vayhi b'me'ach ha-shverish hu'ach ha-shverish ha-moylich me'hoide v'akush sheva v'asr me'ayim medina. And then you read it. And then you write the next pasuk, and then you read it. Of course you're not Yotze. You have to have it from a Fartig Megillah. So the Gemara says, Ela, the mancha Megillah came. The case was where you had a full Megillah in front of you. The karla mina, psuka psuka, the kasavle. So the person had a Megillah in front of him. He was also writing a Megillah. So he's looking into the Megillah, sees the words, reads it from a kosher Megillah, and then he writes it. So you're really writing the Megillah. It just so happens you also were reading it. Therefore, Mkivan Liba, if you had a mind to be Yotza, you're going to be Yotza. So the Gemara says something Gishmak. The Rabbi Bar Bachana. If this is what the Mishnah is talking about, and presumably this is what it means because nothing else makes sense, so is this a riot to something Rabbi Bar Bachana said? So what did Rabbi Bar Bachana say? You're not allowed to write any Kisvei Kodesh Shalom Yenaksav. Meaning, if you're a Sofer and you're a big Baal Kishrin, you know Torah Shavik Zab Baal Peh, it doesn't matter. You can't write Kisvei Kodesh. You have to write him in Toich HaKsav. This Akimta would be very Gishmak if Rabbi Bar Bachana is right. Right, sometimes an Akimta is just an Akimta. We're forced to back in to come up with a scenario in order to understand the Halacha. But if Rabbi Bar Bachana is correct, then this is not just an Akimta. It's mistaber this is what happened, because this is the only way you can write. Rabbi Bar Bachana holds you can't write Kisvei Kodesh Shalom Yenaksav. Also, it's very Gishmak the Akimta. You had a Megillah, you're looking inside, you're writing it down, so it's perfect. So the Gemara says, no, it's not Muchach. I hear. I mean, I definitely hear. Aber Misayele, no, Duma de Shabale Asrum Esramuye. Maybe this is punked the way it was. And if this is punked the way it was, that's the case. You're not going to have a Raya. We're stopping in the middle of the Gemara, but we have a little bit of raid to get to. So as it relates to raid of today's daf, to go back to the beginning of the daf, which was really a continuation of the end of yesterday's daf, and that is Shmoyne Esrei. So really, the story of Shmoyne Esrei is told in Masechtas Megillah. And for following the paper trail, it really came up very much Derech Agav. We're learning the second parak of Masechtas Megillah. The name of the parak is Hakoyre L'Mafreya. The halach of the Mishnah was Hakoyres HaMegillah L'Mafreya Lo Yatza. The Gemara brought a price so that this idea of Hakoyre L'Mafreya Lo Yatza is not exclusive to Megillah. V'chein b'halal, v'chein b'kriya shema, u'betfilah. So we mentioned that if somebody would say Shmoyne Esrei L'Mafreya Lo Yatza, so the Gemara told us the whole story, tefilah minolon. And the Gemara said that, number one, you have to know the history of Shmoyne Esrei. Who was the author of Shmoyne Esrei? 120 skenim, u'mehem kam nevim, tiknu Shmoyne Esrei, brachis ala seder. These 120 skenim, u'behem kam nevim, were also known as the Anshei Knes HaGdailah. Many, many years later, it was forgotten. And then Shimon HaPakuli, Shimon the cotton merchant, he, in Yavne, in the presence of Rabbi Gamliel, he was Chazav Yostam. He was the one that reinstated it. Zachal HaTayv, he brought Shmoyne Esrei back. But either way, the Gemara told the story of Shmoyne Esrei, all the brachas, why these brachas, and why we do them in that particular Seder. The truth is, there's a very, very interesting rest of the story to Shmoyne Esrei, and it's mentioned in the Rambam, in his Yad Chazaka, right at the beginning of Hilchas Tefillah. And I think it's worth just going through a little bit of L'shoynoi Hazov Shal HaRambam HaGadol, right in the beginning of Hilchas Tefillah. The Rambam opens Hilchas Tefillah as follows. Mitzvah Saseh L'spala B'chol Yoyim. There's a mitzvah Saseh Dei Raisa, this is the Rambam Shita, to daven every day. Shenemar Va'avadetem Es Hashem Aleikeichem. Okay, what does that do with tefillah? Mipi Hashmua Omru, says the Rambam, we have a Messiah, she'avoydazu hi tefillah. That when it says va'avadetem, what it means is tefillah. I'm skipping. Ve'ein minyan ha'tefillah is menatayra, says the Rambam. The minyan ha'tefillah is the amount of tefillah that a person has to daven is not menatayra. Ve'ein le'tefillah zman kavua menatayra. Additionally, there's no zman, there's no specific time midai raisa of when you have to daven. Says the Rambam, very gishmak, u'lefichach noshim va'avodim chayavim betefillah. It's for that reason, women and avadim, it's a mishnah in the third parak of Masechtas Brachos, achayiv in tefillah lefishi mitzvah saseh shaloi hazman garama, because it's a mitzvah saseh shaloi hazman garama. Ella says the Rambam chiyiv mitzvah zukachu. So what is the mitzvah they raise to daven? So the Rambam lays it out. Shei adam mispalot u'mischanim b'chol yoyim. A person should daven every day. U'magid shvachish al kodesh baruchu. He should praise al kodesh baruchu. Va'achakach, after he praises al kodesh baruchu, shayol tzrachin shu tzar. He should ask Hashem anything that he needs. Bevakasha ubetchina. He should ask it with humility. Va'achakach, and afterwards, noisin shvach v'idol Hashem. He should thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu al hatova sheshpi aloi for all the good that he's given him in his life. Kol echad ve'echad kefi koicha. And every person should do to the best of his ability. And the Rambam continues. Im hayorogo mar bebetchina v'akasha. If he knows how, oy bezakener, then he should do more. Let's say he doesn't have a koyach hadibur. He should do whatever he could. And he could do whatever he wants. Says the Rambam, do it however, whenever. The point is, every day daven, and the tefillah should be in the Seder. First, give shvach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu whatever it is you want, and then thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Give hayda. Says the Rambam, this is the way it was from the time that the Torah was given until the Yidden went to Galus. Halacha Dalet, Kivin Shagol Yisrael B'mei Nebuchadnezzar Rasha. As soon as the Yidden went to Galus in the times of Nebuchadnezzar Rasha, Nisarvu Beparas V'Yavan V'Sharu Umais, the Yidden for the first time assimilated on a very, very large scale amongst the Persians and the Greeks, etc. V'Nodulem Bonim Ba'artes Agoyim, and they started having children in these foreign lands. Vois and Abonim, these children, Nispabulas Fasam, their language wasn't so clear. Vahoisasfas kol echod ve'echod, me'ureves milashoinis harbe. And people spoke a combination of a whole bunch of different languages. V'kimachayim medaber, ene yochel medaber kol tzarche b'loshen achas. Ela b'shibush. Either way, says the Rambam, people couldn't speak Lashon Kodesh very clearly anymore. Umepnei zeh, because people couldn't speak Lashon Kodesh, k'shoyeecha mehem espalo, if somebody tried davening, tiktsa l'shoyne l'shol chafatzav, he was limited in his ability to daven. Oy lahagit shmecha Kodesh Baruch Hu, or to praise a Kodesh Baruch Hu b'lashon HaKodesh, ad she'arivim l'shoynes acheres, without mixing in other languages, because people became less fluent in Lashon Kodesh. V'kivan shira Ezra beis dinoi kach, so says the Rambam, when Ezra beis dinoi saw this, amdu, they got up, v'tiknu lehem shmoyne esrei brachis ala seder, they were mesakein the shmoyne esrei, sholish rishoynoi shvach, sholish achroynoi hayda, v'em tzois, you have shelos Adam, and this is what you're supposed to do. And what was the reason for this? So like this, there'll be a script that everybody can read from. The point is that once upon a time, people were able to express themselves well in Lashon Kodesh. And as a result, we were able to trust people. Just get up and daven. But then there came a time where people didn't speak Lashon Kodesh anymore. And because of that, if you were going to tell a person, wake up in the morning and say something nice to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then ask for something, and then give Hayda, and say a Lashon Kodesh, you won't be able to do it. People were too weak in their language skills. And as a result, it wasn't hard. English? Yeah, maybe. In some other language? Ulai. Oh, but Lashon Kodesh, it was going to be command impossible. And it was going to end up being a concoction of a whole bunch of different languages. Nishtazai Retman Sabashafer. And it wasn't okay. So what the Anshik Knesset HaGdolah did, the Rambam says, it was Ezra beis dinoi. They got up and they instituted, they gave us a format. They said, this is what you do. You do it 3 times a day. And like this, all you have to do is study it, memorize it. You'll have a siddur where it's going to be printed. And every single person, doesn't matter who you are, what your communication skills are, you will be able to go ahead now and you'll be able to daven. And then the Rambam says, they double down on this. They were masakin that the minyan atfilos should be like the karbonos. And they said, okay, what would the karbonos do? There were 2 primary karbonos every day. You had the Tamid Shal Shachar in the morning, you had the Tamid Shal Bein Abayim in the afternoon. Let's be Masakin Shachar in the morning, Mincha in the afternoon. And then at night, you had all the Haktarah Seymurim going on. Okay, very nice. So at night, what are we going to do? We're going to daven Ma'ariv. And he goes on and on and on. Again, L'shoynoi Hazav Shal HaRambam, where the Rambam gives us the history of Tefillah. So again, we learned the Gemara, and the Gemara says that the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, there were 120 Skenim, Umehem Kamen Avim, also known as the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. They were the ones that instituted it. What happened before then? Before then, everybody would daven kefi tzachas l'shoinei. Everybody would do kefi achaltai, whatever he was able to do. Everybody would do it when they wanted, how they wanted. There was no shachris, there was no mincha, there was no ma'ariv. It was a mitzvah saseh she'ein hazman gerom. You could do it however, whenever you want. The only thing that there was a kped on was the format. Shvach, Bakasha and Hoida. That's the only thing. But other than that, you could do it really however you want to do it. But what happened was, it came a time where it was going to just be too difficult. And therefore, the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah felt they had to intervene, and they did. And they came in and they were mesakin what we know today as the Shmoyne Esrei. So just to move it along a little bit. So really, the history of Shmoyne Esrei traces itself back to the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. So I think it's worth talking a little bit about the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. And the truth is that the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah is very much linked to Maseches Megillah. It's very much linked to the Purim story. Because certainly one of the most, if not the most prominent member of the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah was Mordechai HaTzadik. And the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah are the ones that instituted the whole Purim story. So clearly there's a very, very strong linkage between the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah and between the Purim story. So I think it's worth just talking for a few minutes, hashtag rest of the story, about the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. So the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah were a group of people. How many people? Megillah, Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis, 120 Skenim. So it was a group of 120 people. Umehem Kamen Nevi'im. Amongst them, there were many, many Nevi'im. The Rambam, in his Akdama, his Mishnah Torah, in his Akdamah, his Yad Chazakah, when he goes through the Mesiris HaTorah, so he gets to the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, and he says, quote, Beis Dinoi Shal Ezra, the Beis Din of Ezra, Heim HaNikroim Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. They're who we know as the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. And then the Rambam mentions some of the members of the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah by name. The Heim Chagai, Scharya, Malachi, Daniel, Chananya, Mishal, Vazaria, Nechemya,
Mordechai Bilshan, Uzru Bavel. The Harbi Chachamim Imahem, there were many other Chachamim, Tashlum. If you add up the whole number, Meva Esrim Skeinim, 120 Skeinim. Ha'achrim Mehem, who was the last one? That's a Mishnah novice, who Shimon HaTzadik, for who Hoya Michlala Meva Esrim, he was one of the 120. That's why the Mishnah refers to him as Mishiyari Anshe Knesset Sagdol. He was from the Shiraim, he was the last remaining member. That's what the Rambam says. Ha'achrim Mehem, he was the last one. So the Rambam refers to the Anshe Knesset Sagdol as Beis Dinoi Shel Esrim, and then he goes on to mention some of them. Incidentally, we mentioned this very, very quickly when we learned Daf Tezva. The Gemara had a whole discussion a few dafin ago who Malachi was. Was Malachi Mordechai? Maybe Malachi was just Malachi. One mandamer says the Malachi was Ezra. And the Gemara says, Mistabra commando Amar, Malachi zu Ezra. And the Gemara had a whole discussion. And we mentioned that really the Rishonim, most places, Malachi goes down as Ezra. The Rambam seems to say not that way. It's this Rambam we just read. The Rambam says, Beis Dinoi Shel Ezra, Heim Hanikram Anshe Knesset Hagdoilo, Veheim Chagi Schariu Malachi Daniel. Right, sounds a little from the Rambam. It's not Muchach, but it certainly sounds this way, and the Achrayim will make this diak. The Rambam's discussing the Beis Din of Ezra. So who are the Chavri Beis Din? Chagi Schariu Malachi. So it sounds like Malachi is not Ezra, right? Ezra is like the Rosh Beis Din. It's Beis Dinoi Shel Ezra. Malachi is a member. Clearly, Ezra is not Malachi. So this is the Rambam Shito that it's not Malachi. But it's just what's interesting to know is, number one, the Rambam mentioned some of the members of the Anshe Knesset HaGdoilo, but I think even more interesting is that the Rambam described the Anshe Knesset HaGdoilo as Beis Dinoi Shel Ezra. It was Ezra's Beis Din. The truth is, the Rambam that we mentioned a moment ago, in the beginning of Hilchas Tefillah, did the same thing. When the Rambam goes through the history of Shmoyne Esrei, so originally everybody would just daven the way they were able to daven. Says the Rambam, the Kivan Shara Ezra u Beis Din Oikach, when Ezra and his Beis Din saw that people don't know how to daven anymore, Amdu v'tiknu lehem Shmoyne Esrei Baruchas Al HaSeder. So they got up and they were Mesnakin Shmoyne Esrei Baruchas Al HaSeder. Now, who was the one that was Mesnakin Shmoyne Esrei Baruchas? Today's daf. Megillah Yodzayim, Megillah Yodches. It was 120 Skeinim, Umehem Kam and Avim. It was the Anshe Knesset HaGdoilo. The Rambam doesn't say Anshe Knesset HaGdoilo. The Rambam says, Kivan Shira Ezra Ubeis Dinoi. It's the Rambam L'shitasei. It's Pasha. The Rambam L'shitasei here in Perek Aleph, Hilchas Tefillah Lachadal, to what he said, it is Akdomo to his Yad Chazaka, then who was the Anshe Knesset HaGdoilo? It was Ezra Ubeis Dinoi. Okay, why are we making such a big deal about this? Because if you think about it, it's interesting. Where do you find a Beis Din that's made up of 120 members? The biggest Beis Din in history, you'd think, was made up of 71 members. That was the Beis Din HaGadol. Right? The first Mishnah Masechtas Sanhedrin. Dinei Maminis, B'shloisha. Sometimes a Beis Din is 5, sometimes 7, sometimes 9. You have a Beis Din Shachav Gimel. That's called the Sanhedrin Ketana. And then you have the Sanhedrin HaGadol. The Sanhedrin. It was made up of 71 members. Just like in the Midbar. You had Moshe Rabbeinu and you had the Shivim Skenim. And therefore, for generations, a Jewish Beis Din, the Sanhedrin, was always made up of 71 members. The Rambam refers to the Anshe Knesset HaGdoilo as Beis Dinoi Shel Ezra. This was a Beis Din. It sounds like it was a heftz of a Beis Din of 120 members. It's definitely something that's worth exploring a little bit. The Chaikrim talk about this. But why is it then that this Beis Din was suddenly made up of 120 members? Where do you ever find that a Beis Din was made up of 120 members? One other interesting thing, just from a pure history standpoint, that's worth mentioning, and that is one of the very important history works is a sefer called Tzemach David. Sefer Tzemach David was written by a Kadmon, Rav David Gans. He was a Talmud of the Ramah. He lived in Prague, the end of his life, but he was a Talmud of the Ramah. So this is a Gadol that lived in the 16th century, and he wrote a sefer called Tzemach David, and any important history work is loaded with sources that come from the sefer Tzemach David. So in Chelek Rishon, in Ois Tof Yud Gimel, so the Tzemach David discusses the Anshe Knesset HaGdoilo, and he throws in one important line. He says, "Va'aldas ha'roiv." According to the majority of opinions, haya anshe knesses agdoilu kulam bezman echad. They all lived in the same time. Loisha bo zachar zeh keinyan askeinim vanavim. No. They all lived at the same time. This is very important because this is sometimes a little bit of a point of confusion. And again, it's matim with what we just said. This was a Beis Din that all lived at the same time. They were 120 members. They got together in a room. The Maimon HaGadol, a Knesiyah HaGadol, if there ever was one. But the point is, these are 120 Skeinim, which says the Tzemach David, that even though there's a little bit of a shmooze, but Valdas HaRoiv, according to the majority of opinions, Hayu Anshe Knesset HaGadol, Kulam Bizman Echad. This is not Nevi'im.
that you have Nevi'im that span hundreds of years. No, this is a Chabura, literally, of Gedolim, of Tzadikim, Umehem, Kamen Nevi'im, that all lived during the same Tkufa. So either way, we now know who the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah were. We're familiar with some of the names. We know that they all lived at the same time. We even know that they were a Bezdin. That's what unified them. And who was the Rosh Bezdin? Ezra was the Rosh Bezdin. It's a very unique Bezdin, because usually the largest Bezdin you're ever going to find is a Bezdin that's made up of 71. And this is a Bezdin that was made up of 120, and the Gemara goes out of its way to say, Umehem kamen Nevi'im, that many of the members of this Bezdin were Nevi'im. So what were the contributions of the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, right? You sort of feel from learning Gemara that they're very, very important. But there's not one Gemara that lays out exactly who the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah were and what exactly they did. And really, in order to come with a little bit of a visual, a little of a picture, we have to be malakit from different places to try to see if we could develop a little bit of a sense of what the significance is of this group, known as the men of the great assembly, the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, exactly who they were. So there's a few Gemaras that talk about what they did. This Gemara Masechtas Brachas, Daf Lamed Gimel Amid Beis. The Gemara says, Amalei Rav Shemen Bar Abba L'Rabbi Yochanan, Mecht, Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, Tiknu Lehem L'Yisrael, Brachas, V'Tfilos, Kedushas V'Avdolos. The Anshei Knesset HaGedolah were Masakin Brachas. There's no Chiv Deiraisa to make a Bracha. Baruch Atah Hashem Alekeinu Melech Olam Shakol Nia B'Dvarei. Is that a Deiraisa? Pashtas, it's only a Derabban. Who was Masakin, the obligation to make a Bracha? It was the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. Tfilos, that's our Gemara. Megillah Daf Yud Zayin Amid Beis. That's the whole rest of the story that the Rambam talks about in the beginning of Hilchas Tfilah. They were Mesakein Tfilos. Kedushas V'Avdolos. Kiddush and Avdolah. These were things that were implemented and instituted by the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. We have the Gemara Masechtas Yuma Daf Samech Tes that we talk about a lot and we just mentioned in the raid the other day. And that is that the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah were Machzer HaTorah LeYoshna. Because before the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, when a Yid said Shemayna Esrei, they would say, Okay, La Gadol, but maybe not Gibor, maybe not Noira, because Ayei Gvurasoi, Ayei Noirasov. But what happened? They came around after the Purim story and they said, no, this is the Gvur of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is the Noir of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So in the world of Tefillah, they seem to be very critical. Brachos, Tefillos, Kedushos, V'Avdolos, right? These are all things that are Me'inyan Le'inyan Ba'oseinyan. But the truth is that if you delve in a little bit more, the contribution of the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah was much more than that. Number one, the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah lived when? The end of Golus Bavel and the beginning of Bayesheni, which means that they presided over the construction of the second Beis HaMikdash. When the Yidden came from Bavel back to Eretz Yisrael, right, the Gemara talks about Kedusha Rishoyna Kitchel HaShaita V'Kitchel HaSalavai, Kedusha Shniya Kitchel HaShaita V'Kitchel HaSalavai. Who presided over the Kedusha Shniya? It was the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. When the Yidden resettled the land, there was confusion, there was mayhem. Not just that, from a spiritual standpoint also, most Yidden were not behaving the way they should. And the Yidden needed a tremendous chizik. Who presided over that? Again, it was the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. We always speak out from the Vilna Gaon, that the Vilna Gaon in his Pirish on Agadat Gemara, and this is a Masechtas Becheiros Daf Ches Amid Beis, the Gemara that talks about the exchange that Rabbi Yeshua had with the Chachmei Atuna, the wise people of Athens. So the Gaon over there says that all, and some say they're going only meant Roif, but for sure, Ruba de Ruba of the Rabbanans were instituted when? In the beginning of Bayesheni. So in the beginning of Bayesheni, that's when all the Rabbanans came into play. Meaning, Bayes Rishon, we didn't have the Rabbanans. When did the Rabbanans come into play? They came into play during Bayesheni. Who were the Gedolim during that time? It was the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. So it seemed that all, or if not, Ruba de Ruba of the Rabbanans that we have, the Rabbanans that literally govern every minute of our lives, came from who? They came from the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. We know that Torah Shebiksav is made up of Chaf Dalet Sfar. Right? We have the Chaf Dalet Sifrei Tanakh. That's what Torah Shebiksav is. And the truth is, who decided that Torah Shebiksav should be made up of Chaf Dalet Sfar? Like, where did that come from? Just to ask the question a little bit better. We learned the Gemara together in Daf Yud Amud Aleph. The Gemara says there were 48 Nevi'im and 7 Nevi'os that said Nevu'ah for Klai Yisrael. Faith the Gemara, 48 Nevi'im? What do you mean? We have a Braisa that says Elkanah came from a place where there were 200 Nevi'im. We have another Braisa that says there were so many Nevi'im, it was Kiflaim Ki Yotzei Mitzrayim. 600,000
people left Mitzrayim, 600,000 times 2 is the amount of Nevi'im they were. So how can you tell me 48 Nevi'im? We know there was 1.2 million Nevi'im. So the Gemara says, no. When we say 48 Nevi'im, what we mean is Nevu'ah shehutzrucha l'dayris. There were 48 Nevi'im that said Nevu'ah that was hutzrucha l'dayris. As opposed to all the other Nevi'im, the Nevu'ah that they said was not hutzrucha l'dayris. You know what the rest of the story is? The rest of the story is that all the Nevi'im would sit and they would write their Nevu'ah. As I state in all the old classic Jewish history works, they would sit down and they would write all their Nevu'ah. And there were a whole bunch of different Svarim and scribes and scrolls that were made up of Nevu'ahs. And there was just so much. You know how much? I don't know. Maybe Keflaim Kiyotz and Mitzrayim. That's how many Nevi'im there were. There were just so many Nevi'im. And the Anshe Knesset HaGedolah sat down and they said, we have to sort this all out. And they decided that there's going to be certain Svarim that are going to make the cut, and all the other Svarim are going to be on the outside looking in. And you know how they determined who makes the cut? That Gemara that we just mentioned, Megillah Daf Yudal Ramad Aleph, they said any Nevu'ah that they deemed was Hutzrucha L'dayris, that Nevu'ah was going to make it. But any Nevu'ah that they felt was Loi Hutzrucha L'dayris, that Nevu'ah wasn't going to make it. So who's the one that decided what should be from the Sifrei Tanakh and what should not be from the Sifrei Tanakh? It was them. They were the ones that decided what's a Nevu'ah Shel Hutzrucha L'dayris. This is a fact. This is something that was attributed to the Anshe Knesset HaGedolah. With this, we can understand another Gemara we learned. The Gemara said in Megillah Daf Zayin Amud Aleph, Sholcho lehem Esther lechachamim, Kivuni ledairis, I want you to be kaveya mi ledairis. So they sent back, Kinat meireres, and there's a whole conversation, there's a whole give and take. Esther wants that her story should be one of the Sifrei Tanakh. So she's lobbying, could you make my sefer one of the Sifrei Tanakh? You know what the rest of the story is? When were the Sifrei Tanakh, when did they go into effect? When was it determined what would be Sifrei Tanakh? It was during the Anshe Knesset HaGedolah. She lived during that time. Mordechai, Ezra, Malachi. These are all her contemporaries. So she knows that there's a big meeting taking place right now. And right now they're going to sit and they're going to vote. Nimnu v'gamru. They're going to decide what's going to be from the Sifrei Tanakh, what's not going to be from the Sifrei Tanakh. So Shoch L'Mesel L'Chachamim. So Esther sends the Chachamim. Kivuni L'Dairis. I want my Sefer to make the cut. She's lobbying to the right people at the right time. This is when it's happening. Literally now, achshav. So this is what she wants, right? Otherwise, it's like, can you figure out? No, because right now they're making the determination, and they decide on the number 24 because 24 is connected to Chavtal Mishmaris, right? There's this raid on all this, but the bottom line is they're the ones that made the decision that you should come up with Chavtal at Sifrei Tanakh. The truth is, they made another very, 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 very important contribution, and this is an incredible postscript to something we talk about all the time. There's a Yerushalmi, it's a Masech Tishkalim, it's on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, the very, very top of the Amud. Amr Rav Yoyna. Rav Yoyna said, there's a pasuk in Yeshaya. Yeshaya Novi said, Lochein achalik loy barabim, ve'esatsumim yichalik shovel. Says the Gemara, you know what it's referring to, is Rabbi Akiva. This pasuk is referring to Rabbi Akiva. Shehiskin, he was the one that was Masakin, Medrish, Halochais, ve'agodos. The Eishayimrim says, the Gemara, Elu Anshe Knesset HaGedolah. No. Those things were instituted not by Rabbi Akiva. They were instituted by the Anshe Knesset HaGedolah. Elamatikinzeh. So what was Rabbi Akiva Masakin? The Klolois and the Protos. So listen to the Tiklan Chadatin. The Tiklan Chadatin was Rabbi Yisrael Mishklov. He's the author of the Pas HaShulchan. He was a Talmud Muvik of the Vilna Gaon. He was one of the first European Jews to settle in the Ira Atika in Eretz Yisrael, hashtag the Chur V'Shul. So Rabbi Yisrael Mishklov, the Baal Pasa Shulchan, and the Tiklan Chadatin in his Pirush HaMesech Tishkolim says on this Gemara, Anshe Knesses HaGdoyle Tikno, Shehamishna VeHamedrish Hoyu Mekubel Miyadam Mimei Anshe Knesses HaGdoyle Kemoyshe Mefurish B'Sifrei HaGoyinim. Says the Tiklan Chadatin that if you look in the Goyinim say that what does it mean? Lochein achalik doy berabim v'satzumi yichalik shalol elu Anshe Knesset HaGedolah. It means the Anshe Knesset HaGedolah, they were the ones that wrote the Mishnah. You know, we always say Rebbe didn't write the Mishnah, right? It's one of the great misnomers of all time. That Rebbe is the author of the Mishnah. It's not true. It's fake news. Rebbe is not the author of the Mishnah. Rebbe was Masada the Mishnah. Rebbe took Mishnayos and Brises and things that had been transmitted for generations, and he put it all together, and he came up with a Mishnah. And sometimes he had the same halacha that was mentioned 10 different times in 10 different ways, and he had to pick the one he liked. And he took the Midrashim and the Mishnayos of Rameyer, who is Mekabel from Rabbi Akiva, and the reason is because he spoke Belashin Ketzara, and that's why Rav said, etc., etc., etc. But the point is that Rebbe didn't write the Mishnah. See, here's the question. If Rebbe didn't write the Mishnah, who did write the Mishnah? Who wrote it? Who is the author of the Mishnah? It's Yerushalmi, Mesechta Shkolim, Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis. It's Mefurish in the Tiklan Chadatin, and he quotes the Gaonim, presumably Rav Shrira Gaon, right? These were the Gaonim that talked about this. So, who is the author of the Mishnah? It's the Anshe Knesses Hagdailah. There was always a Torah Sheval Peh. Torah Sheval Peh was Moshe Kibel Torah Misinai, Umisari Yeshua. But the Anshe Knesses Hagdailah came and they formulated Mishnayas. They sat down and they said, Megillah Nikras, Biyud Aleph, Biyud Beis, Biyud Gimel, Biyud Aleph, Betesvav. They said, Arba Ovis Nazikin, Ashar, Vahabar, Vahamabe, Vahever. They said, Cheskes Abatim. They said, Eilu Metzir Shaloi, Ve'elu Chayv Lahachris. They said, Shtayim Moichsam Betalas. This is their Nusach. They're the ones that composed the Mishnah. So you want to know who wrote the Mishnah? This was a contribution of the Anshe Knesses Hagdolah. So let's just put this all together. The Anshe Knesses Hagdolah were 120 people, Mehem Kam and Avim. They were really the Bezdin of Ezra. They all lived at the same time, like Rav David Gant says in his Semach David, Talmud of the Ramah. They all lived, not like the Nevi'im that spanned hundreds of years. No, they all lived at the very, very same time. When? The end of Golas Bavel, in the beginning of Bayis Sheni. What's their contribution? So if you look through the Gemaras, they were Mesak and Tfilos and Brachas and Kiddush and Avdalah. But the truth is, they really were the leaders of the Jews during this very, very critical time. They presided over the building of the second Beis HaMikdash. They are the ones that make sure the Yidden were going to settle. At a very scary time where the Kutim were threatening, a lot of things could have gone the wrong way. They made sure that everything was going to go the right way. Just go through Sefer Ezra and Nehemiah and you realize what trying times it was for the Jews at that time. Lo pashut at all. And they were the ones that made sure that everything was going to go smoothly. But from a Torah perspective, think about what they did. They went ahead and they made sure that the Chavdal Sifrei Tanakh, it would now be Sifrei Tanakh. That's it. At this point, moving forward, you're not going to be able to add anything. Esther's trying to get her Sefer to be written. She has to lobby the Anshe Knesses Hagdolah, because they're the ones that are making the decision. Not just that, they went ahead and they wrote the Mishnah. The whole Mishnayos came from who? The whole Mishnayos came from the Anshe Knesses Hagdolah. So it's interesting. You know, the Gemara says, in Masechta Sanhedrin, Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Beis, Amar Mar Zutra V'Teima Mar Ukva. Roy Hoysa Ezra Sheti Rabbi Yossi Yomer. Roy Hoya Ezra Sheti Nasin Torah Al Yadai. Ezra was really so worthy that the Torah couldn't have been given through him. But even though it wasn't given through him, Nishtan Al Yadai Aksav. The Ksav was changed through him. But the Gemara makes a big deal that Ezra was technically worthy. He had the credentials for the Torah to be given through him. And the Gemara says that even though the Torah wasn't given through him, but Nishtan Al Yadai, the Torah was changed through him. I don't know if you can say this, but you get the feel that Ezra, that's what the Gemara is talking about, Ubeis Dinoi, the Anshe Knesses Hagdolah, on some level, Nishtan Al Yadai. Because really what happened was, is you had all of a sudden the Chavdal Sifrei Tanakh, all of a sudden you have the Mishnayos, all the Rabbanans that the Vilna Gaon says. These were things that all came about. Now you have Tefillah, now you have Bracha. Think about all these different contributions that took place. The Yidden were in Eretz Yisrael, and then the Beis HaMikdash was Charev, they went into Galus. And when they came back to Eretz Yisrael the second time, they came back with a whole bunch of differences, a whole bunch of Shinuyim. They didn't go back and just repeat the same thing as it happened the first time. And the Gaon says in that piece, in Becheiros Daf Ches Amud Beis, that the reason they came back with Shinuyim was because they felt, if we're going to just go back to Eretz Yisrael and we're going to get a second chance, but we're not going to change anything, then what's going to prevent us from making the same mistakes and really from us ending up with the same fate that we had the first time? So they felt that they had no choice, but they had to go and make Shinuyim. And sure, and they definitely had Shinuyim. Chavdal Sifrei Tanakh, now all of a sudden we have all the Mishnayos and all the Braises, right? Everything that we have, which is mamish the trumas and the meisters of once there was of what there once was, who instituted this, is all from the Anshe Knesses Hagdolah. Now all of a sudden, all you have the rabbanans. Afal pishlei nitna Torah yadai. But on some level, there was shinuyim. Of course, not shinuyim chas v'shalom in the Messiah. But all of a sudden, you have things that are being done and are being put into place to make sure that there's going to be a tremendous chizik. And maybe we can appreciate a little bit better what Chazal meant when they said kimu v'kiblu hayehudim, that kimu mashekiblu kvar, that in the, after the Purim story and really at the end of Golus Bavel and at the beginning of Bayis Sheni, there was a hader kiblu b'mei Achashverosh. There was a new Kabbalah Satayra. And with this new Kabbalah Satayra, there was Shinuyim. Again, not Shinuyim where anyone violated Baal Tosef, not Shinuyim where a Navi said something, She'enei Rashoi L'chadesh. But rather, there was Shinuyim that were put into place to be Mechazik to Mesoira, to make sure that during Bayesheni, these things wouldn't happen again. The Kachava, it's because of the things that the Anshei Knesset HaGdoila put into place that we're still around talking about them 2,500 years later. But the Anshei Knesset HaGdoila, you know, you mentioned them very briefly in the beginning of Pirkei Avos, and you know Shimon HaTzadik was from the Shiari Anshei Knesset HaGdoila, and they make an appearance in a Gemara here and a Gemara there, but really if you put the pieces together, and again we're just scratching the surface, but if you put the pieces together, what suddenly begins to emerge is that these people had tremendous plaitzes. It's unbelievable. Mehem kam neviim. It required neviim in order for them to be able to do what they did, because they made significant changes, and really the tzura of Yiddishkeit and Bayis Sheni was very different than it was in Bayis Rishon because of all the shinuyim that they made. And like the Goyen says, these shinuyim were put into place because they felt they had to be put into place. If you're not going to change something, then history is going to repeat itself. And they were all done as a chizek. They were all done as things that were necessary. But either way, just a little bit into the legacy of the Anshei Knesset HaGdoila.